We have farmers, you're probably going to need to step up here real soon if you want to get in on this $400 million dicamba settlement. Attorney with Pfeiffer Wolf, Paul Lesko, is joining me on the live line. We're going to talk about the herbicide settlement. Hi, Paul.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So what are we talking about here? Is it just, I mean, you have to have used dicamba in order to be in on this, right?
No, you actually had to have had dicamba drift onto your crops and do damage to your crops. This settlement has to do with damage that was caused by the Xtendimax or Engenia dicamba products to producers and farmers who actually just weren't doing anything, going about their job, just planting their crops, and considering what their neighbors did, ends up on their crops and ends up doing damage.
Okay, so what kind of damage are we talking about? Because isn't dicamba supposed to be used on crops? I mean, well, I was always confused by that.
Sure, so dicamba is a herbicide. Mm-hmm. So what it does is it kills, it's there to kill weeds. But Monsanto created a product that was soybeans and cotton that were resistant to dicamba. So kind of like Roundup, Roundup Ready crops, you could spray dicamba over the top of the Xtend crops, and they would live, but all the weeds underneath them would die. Mm-hmm. The problem is your neighbors might not have planted similar soybeans. They might have planted non-Xtend soybeans that are not resistant to dicamba. So the dicambas that were at issue in this lawsuit, what would happen is the applicators would spray the dicamba over the top of their crops. And then even if they followed the instructions, at night, the dicamba would volatilize. It would actually lift off their crops, float away, and land somewhere else where it wasn't supposed to land. And quite often, it landed in fields where there were soybeans that were not resistant to dicamba. So it caused a lot of damage to soybeans and other crops.
So you wake up one morning and all your crops are dead, and you're like, what the...
You wake up and all your soybean leaves are curled, and it's great. It's gonna be one of those seasons.
Yeah, it's almost like I took care of them or something, because I've got a black thumb. All right, so can you say that anymore? I don't even know. All right, so when it comes to this drift, no one really knew it was happening until they figured it out, though, right?
In 2017, people actually knew this was probably going to happen. Dicamba has been around for years, and it's always been something that people would use in the early spring or the late fall because it did have a tendency to volatilize. Monsanto and BASF, they came out with their products, their dicamba products, and said that they were low volatility, not no volatility, but low volatility. Mm-hmm. So I think the hopes were out there that it would not volatilize and hit other people's crops. But, low volatility isn't no volatility. It did that, and it caused damage to other people's crops.
Okay, and that's been proven.
It has. It has. There was a trial in Cape Girardeau over a peach farm that had years of damage due to dicamba, and it resulted in a $250 million verdict against Monsanto and BASF.
Yeah, you don't mess with people's peaches. You just don't. You leave the peaches alone. Peaches are off limits, folks. All right, so I'm just being silly. Sorry.
No, I've actually tried to grow peaches for years, and it's hard
impossible.
Enough just to grow peaches in your backyard. All they do is end up feeding the deers and the raccoons.
Yeah.
So, anybody who can actually grow peaches, it's a hard job, let alone having your neighbors dump a chemical that's going to kill everything and make it even harder.
Yeah, and those squirrels, man, rats getting a break from society. I hate those things. All right, so it is time, though, if farmers want to get in on this, they better, is it a hurry up? Is that where we are?
It's not. So the settlement actually here will cover through 2020 damage. And as the season's just starting right now, there is going to be damage as the season progresses. So farmers do need to actually do something here. This isn't a settlement that if they sit on the couch, they're not going to get a check. You have to either go through the process once it's available, or what we would hope you would do is talk to a lawyer about what your rights are. And have them assist you through the process. You'll have to provide some documentation showing that you had the symptomology, that you had dicamba damage, and that you had a yield loss. and, you know, considering what documents you might need to bring or what evidence you might need to bring, you know, lawyers are normally pretty good at that, so you might want to consult with a lawyer beforehand. But the process will be set up. If you feel confident, you know what you can do yourselves, you can do it yourselves. But again, I think it's always good to talk to a lawyer before doing anything like this.
But you're not going after your fellow farmer, you're going after dicamba.
That's correct. You're going after the manufacturers. And that was a decision that we made. We've been involved in these lawsuits for years, and that was a decision that we made going from the beginning, because the farmers here, they followed the label. They did everything that they were supposed to do, and the damage still arose. So we decided, you know, that's a defective product in our mind. So we decided the bad guys here were Monsanto, were BASF, and that's who we went after.
Can
so
you still
if you're
buy
part
it?
Of the settlement, you can still buy it. It is, well, wait, let me rephrase that. No, the EPA, the Ninth Circuit just told the EPA that you could not sell this product anymore. But you can still use what you have in your reserves for this year.
Okay.
Now, Monsanto and BASF are trying to renew their applications and try and get it legalized again for next year, which I think is absolutely crazy. But, you know, we'll see what the EPA does this time around.
Okay. But, I mean, if it's a legal product and people can sell it and the farmers can use it, I mean, you have a lot more people who may be affected in the near future.
It could, and that's why this settlement is going to take care of farmers for 2020 also.
Okay.
You know, it's the EPA, in order for this product to be used again next year, the EPA has to do more and approve it. But this year, we're going to try and take care of everybody that might get damaged while this product was legally registered.
Well, I'm trying to wrap my head around all of this, because I'm not picking a side, because I don't understand it fully either way. But I know when I hear the words EPA, I start to go, I'm just saying, I don't trust them as far as I can throw them. But if I were a farmer and my crops were ruined by the guy next to me and I knew he still had surplus of dicamba, why would I plant that field?
Yeah, it's a very difficult situation, because weeds are a very difficult problem that a lot of farmers have. They're developing resistance to Roundup. So everyone's looking for that next solution. And dicamba, if this dicamba stuck where it was supposed to be and not float, it would be that solution. And that's how it was sold. This will not leave and hit your neighbor's fields. But it does. So, you know, the only solution that, I mean, it's really a kick in the teeth for a lot of our clients, because they were hurt in 2017. They were hurt again in 2018. So what do they do in 2019? They buy the product that's causing the damage to their neighbors, because it's the only way they can protect themselves. It's a very frustrating situation. And this seed has over 60% of the market. Over 60% of soybeans that are planted have this resistance. And if you want to get the most use out of it, you have to spray dicamba over the top. And you could potentially damage your neighbors. It's a pretty bad situation.
How far does it float? I mean, I'm trying to imagine, if I've got a big old farm, 180 acres, and I'm planting soybeans and I'm dicambying them, or whatever the words are, how's it getting so far? I mean, it must really float.
Well, see, it really doesn't need to, because what happens at night, it volatilizes, it floats, let's say it gets a 1 foot above where your crops are. If you have a 1 mile per hour wind, that could move in 4 hours. It could move 4 miles. And then when the morning comes, it drops back down. It really doesn't need that much to float. Anything that, it's like, you know, water will turn into gas if you just, you know, into a vapor if you just leave it out there. Well, so does dicamba.
This science lesson brought to you by Pfeiffer and Wolf. You know, I'm going to have nightmares about this tonight. I am, about stuff floating around.
I'm officed in St. Louis, but a lot of my clients are in the Boot Heel and in Arkansas, and so I drove down a lot, and you know, once you know what the damage looks like, you see it a lot, and I really felt like I was living in a science fiction novel. I mean, it's something that you think it'd be in the Michael Crichton book or something, where you're spraying stuff, it's floating away, it's landing everywhere. I mean, it's crazy. It really is.
Wow, and yet, I don't know. I'm sure dicamba has their own side to this story, don't they?
Well, Monsanto says that it's a safe product, that according to their tests, it doesn't volatilize. And basically, their whole theme of the case is that everybody just lost their minds and forgot how to apply this product in 2017, 18, and 19. In 2017, there were Kevin Bradley from the University of Missouri did some survey studies and found, and he said that at least 3.7 million acres of soybean were damaged in 2017. And Monsanto says that they deny that that damage, you know, happens to that extent. And to the extent that it does happen, they say it's because applicators just, you know, forgot how to read labels and forgot how to follow instructions. And even though there's never been any damage like that before. So I think common sense leads you to believe what it is, and I think the Monsanto's position and BASF's position is not common sense.
Okay, because this stuff ain't cheap. Okay, it's not cheap to treat your field for one thing.
No, no, it's not. So, but you know, it's one of those alternatives that looks that to people who are buying it, that if it's stuck there and if it didn't move, it would be a good product. It will kill the weeds. It will do exactly what it's supposed to. But the problem is, it's going to hurt your neighbors also.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so everybody, if you want to get in on this, Paul's about to tell you how to do it. I know you said contact your lawyer, but what are we saying here? What do we need to
do? Yeah, no, so a process is going to be put together. Since it's going to encompass 2020 damage, we have to make sure that we get everybody involved in this. So over the next month or so, we will make it publicized. Everybody will make it publicized how farmers and producers and applicators can get involved in this settlement. But if you have questions, if you have damage, the most important thing to do is document it, take pictures, report it to your plant board, report it to the Department of Agriculture, and importantly, contact an attorney. You know, we'd like you to contact us. We think we're really good at this, but we understand that there are other attorneys that are out there, and the most important thing for you is talk to any attorney, figure out what your rights are, and document everything so that when you go through this process, you are insured to get 100% of what's coming to you.
Okay, so it depends on how many people get in on this to find out what's coming to you, right?
Well,
or do you get fully covered?
No, for the farmers here, the goal is to give everybody 100 cents on the dollar for the damage that it caused to them. There's not going to be, if 1,000 people participate or 1,000,000 people participate or 2 people participate, if they show that they've got damage and whatever their yield loss was, they're going to get that.
Okay. All right. So I'm guessing you want them to call you?
I would not mind that.
Okay.
But how do they get a hold of you? And I understand the farming community has their relationships with other farmers and who they feel comfortable with. But if they would like to contact me, we're out of St. Louis. You know, we're on the web. My name is Paul Lesko. You can find me. My phone number is 314-833-4826. But again, the most important thing is just talk to any attorney and figure out what your rights are.
Okay. All right. His name is Paul Lesko, attorney at, I don't want to leave anybody off here because they've earned their spot on your list of people here. The law firm is Pfeiffer, Wolf, Carr, Kane, and Conway.
That is correct. It gets longer every year, it seems like.
Oh, my goodness. I made partner in the 72 other guys. It's a big deal, though, when you make partner. The dicamba herbicide or herbicide, depending on what part of the country you're from, settlement. You need to act now, farmers, if you want to get in on this through the 2020 season. He is attorney Paul Lesko. I'm going with Pfeiffer Wolf. Thanks, Paul.
Perfect. Thank you for having me on. I really enjoy this.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Paul is just making sure you know. Tick-tock. There's a $400 million dicamba settlement, and if you've been hurt, give him a call.